Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. I was going to say we have Jocelyn back this week, but we don't because she got sick. I feel like everyone's getting, who has not gotten sick yet on the podcast?
I don't want to admit it though now, because like that's like, isn't that like death?
Yeah,
you're touch wood, everything.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
Is it? It's,
yeah, it's really. Have you been around a lot of really like runny noses and disgustingly sick people? Then you'll probably get sick.
Is this what they teach you at the hospital, Sarah? Is this like what you've learned in grad school?
This is what I learned having a kid in daycare.
I was gonna say a kid in daycare is like number one. Probably, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Sid, if you can't tell from the British accent, is with us this week to talk about races. And Khadija is getting ready for her Ultraman crewing on Friday. These things, like, when do they start? Like,
they start on Friday, so I'm all packed up. I'll get there tomorrow. I'm in charge of nutrition and fueling, so I'll be making the protein pancakes for breakfast and getting the recovery meal and shakes together.
Do they use your van like as the race vehicle? Like, do you guys put everything? Like, do you drive the van on the race course?
They can, but the gentleman who is the bike mechanic, he has a truck, a King Cab truck, and it's all set up for the bike. But I mean, it can be used for backup because I have a full bike set up in the back of the van.
And you promised that your athlete is going to join us next week to tell us all
of
the...
Yeah, I already talked.
Okay. Though, then I was like, well, maybe we have to reschedule. I was like, well, maybe we have to reschedule our recording because it's on Valentine's Day. And you guys were all like, no. I thought maybe you had, you know, hot plans. No.
Well, it sounds like Khadija actually has quite steamy plans, but not Valentine's Day themes.
Yeah.
You had threshold efforts on the bike? Is that what you had for?
Yeah.
You know.
For Valentine's Day, good.
It'll be hot for real.
Yes. All right. Well, Jocelyn did send us a voicemail all about the Olympic marathon trials, which of course is what we're going to talk about. So after this ad break, we'll hear from Jocelyn and then we're going to talk everything Olympic marathon trials. And then of course we got to talk about controversies of the week in the second half of the show.
So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah. It seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the AminoCo Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all AminoCo products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's AminoCo, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Hey, Wednesday night group ride buddies. It's Jocelyn, and I think I'm coming down with the plague. It's hitting me fast and furious, but I had so many thoughts about the Olympic marathon trials. I just wanted to leave you guys a short voice memo because I will miss discussing and dissecting it all with you. So, three things. First, triathlon adjacent. Did you guys notice some of the women wearing the visors or headbands with the magic cooling crystals that we see all over Ironman and Ironman racing? I don't think any of the guys that I didn't really see it in the men's field, but because I remember reading an article about the top two guys and how one of them had this whole thing with switching hats every time there was the fluid stations, and he had a fresh hat, and they kept saying how, like, we're not used to running with a hat on. It's too hot running with a hat. And then speaking of the guys, like, that finish? Yeah, they might as well have been holding hands. Like, it was like, oh, you go first. Oh, you go first. I don't care if you're my training partner. I'm going to, like, fight you to the death to the finish line. If we're at the front of the race like that, you're obviously both going to make the team already. So I would have loved to see them just sprint it out. And I feel like I'm not the only one. And lastly, huge shout out to two of the mom runners. There was McKenna Myler, who went viral for running 2 pregnant miles at 9 months pregnant in like less than 5.5 minutes. She got 7th 10 months after having her second baby. And then there was Sarah Sellers, who is famous for getting 2nd at the Boston Marathon that year, where it was like a torrential downpour and Des Linden won that one. She got 14th just 9 months after having her second kid. That's wild. Like, good for them. Anyway, I miss you all and hope to catch up with you next week during Galentine's Day. Talk to you soon.
I feel like out of Jocelyn's voicemail, the main question I took away was, should the two men have fought it out to the end, or should they have held hands?
Okay. Remember when Jocelyn was not a fan of a little clapping going on around the finish line?
Yeah, no, she wants them to fight it out. She thinks they should have fought it out.
Yes, of course. Her track history supports that. I agree. There's money on the line. Yeah, why should they hold hands and go in the
Because
cosmos?
it's like the equivalent. I actually was fine with it because it's like the equivalent of rounds, right? Like the number one goal, any of them will tell you, right? Number one goal is qualification. Like you kind of don't care if you're first or second. Like I know it's like I know obviously people care, but I don't think I could name who's like the trials winner mostly, right? Like it doesn't matter. What matters is making the Olympics, you know?
Okay, but there was prize money.
Sure.
So financially, there's an incentive.
But maybe they had a deal saying they were just going to split it 50-50 kind of thing.
Ooh.
Some people have had a conspiracy.
Because they're training partners, right? They went, yeah.
Is that allowed? I mean, with all my professional athletic experience, I should know, right? But I don't.
Well, I don't know if anyone can stop them,
Right. I don't
officially. Yeah.
I have read that conspiracy too, but then someone else pointed out like the guy who got second, Clayton Young, right? I think it was also like one of the things where like you listen to like 30 seconds of an interview with him, and I think he genuinely is just like a nice Mormon guy who's like, oh, I'm just happy. I'm just so excited to be an Olympian. I was happy to
He
see my
seemed like,
friend win. Yeah.
is he like the older, more experienced one? He seemed to kind of like step back to let the other guy take the win, and the other guy looked a little bit more out of it, not
I
really
think that's
sure, and just
like the
carried on.
vibe.
Like, because
And
Clayton, the guy who came second, he was celebrating from like 2K out, wasn't he? He was like high five, and the other guy was just like, I want to get to the finish.
so I feel like I don't think there's a conspiracy. I think he just genuinely was like just sort of happy, like
Yeah. Job done.
way to
Tick the
go.
box.
Yeah.
We both
Like
got there.
we go exactly. Yeah. Okay. I'm not gonna sprint for the finish. Like I'm good. I'm
I'm
happy.
good. Yeah. I will tell you though, I was like mocking, nah, shocking, right? I was mocking NBC for like doing a really bad job explaining the whole like, do the men have three spots or two spots? And I was like, right? And I was like, look, it's not that complicated. They just have two spots. Like the odds of them getting a third spot are really, really low. And then I like realized today that actually it's not, that actually it's like possible it rolls down to third in May because there apparently is an American ranked in the top 80, another American, which I did not realize. So.
Does someone else have to run the qualifying time to get that slot? But then that
No,
would go to the third place, so
well, the
that's not
third guy
fair.
has already run a qualifying time.
Not in the
He's
window.
run a 207.
Not in the window.
Oh no, okay.
Oh, not in the
That's
window.
yeah.
Ah,
So I
okay.
thought the only way the US would get a third spot is yeah, somebody ran that 208 time, and the only times they have to do it, there's only like three more races, and like who's gonna do it? They like it doesn't, there's nobody who's going to, but I didn't realize there was actually someone also ranked in the top 80. And because all the Kenyans and Ethiopians and Eritreans have already taken their max three spots, we could get like that roll down allocation. That's what I didn't realize, that there was a person. So now I'm like, oh, well.
All right, Lenny. Lenny has a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like so he the chances of the third guy getting this lot is actually smaller than they kind of were making out on the coverage.
I think it's actually better. But then maybe I thought it was zero. And now I think it's like 20,
Okay.
30 maybe.
You think it's that low?
I don't know. I obviously am not super in the weeds on men's sports, to be super
Yeah,
fair.
to
Like
be fair.
you should have seen
And
us.
then you go to the women's side, and like, didn't the top six all run the qualifying on the day at the trials? Bless. And they're like, oh, that's tough.
You should have seen me and old Sarah though sitting there, because there's a point where like the Zach Panning, the guy who was they were tr clearly trying to go for the 208. And we're sitting there with like a piece of paper, like trying to like do the math of like how many miles they have left and how. And then I just so don't know men's times that you're like, could they do that? That seems doable, right? Like they can run fast.
Yeah.
Like I just have no idea.
I think he did. I feel sorry for Zach,
Yeah.
and I think even the two that won in the post race interview, they kind of, I think again they were being kind of nice, but it kind of came across semi mocking, sort of like, yeah, he had a really good race, but basically
He
he
tried.
let us what he sort of dragged us to the win, and then he blew sort of thing. So
But he tried. He had one card to play. He played, you know
yeah,
what I mean? I get that.
I think
Yeah.
you did a. I mean, if that's the
Yeah.
card you play, you go for it, don't you?
You
Bring more
can't
bus.
regret that.
Yeah.
I'd rather go out in flames.
Yeah.
Hey, at
Hey,
least you know you put it all out there.
he did pay for it.
Not as
Was
much
so
as
close, though. It was like literally the last couple of kilometers or the last mile or so, wasn't it? It was like, oh.
Yeah. What was I didn't realize, because you know they like don't really show behind like the first three. I didn't realize like Emily Durgin, who was like 10, like she collapsed like 100 yards to the finish and was like on her hands and knees, like
Oh wow.
Yeah.
got
There was
up.
it wasn't
Yeah.
there her last name Sanaa. She passed out like at mile 21. She just walked off and sat down.
Oh, Betsy. Yeah, I mean, she just like walked off and laid down face down in the grass. I was like, there were, and maybe you guys have a theory. I don't know. So, out of the women's race, there actually was like fewer starters than there's been in like 20 years. Like, it was actually the smallest. It was like 145,
Is that because
47.
they jumped the qualifying time so
It's
much this
a couple,
time?
but it's also that like of the qualifiers, a lot got injured. So there's some questions around like, was it just like too condensed a window? So too many people had to like push it. So it is a very small field. And then we saw like a very high rate of DNFs, like especially it was like 22% or something, 23%
On the women's side.
on the
Was
women's
it
side.
injury or the temperature, though?
It was, but well, so D the not starting was injury, obviously. But
I
then the,
wonder. I wonder on the women's side, because that's unusual, because normally it's the women's that tough it out and it's the men that flake. But I wonder if, because so many of the women had the qualifying time in comparison to the men, it was just much more competitive and it was more like, we've got to take this race. And so then, and then they suffered and then suffered the consequences. Whereas with the men, not as many of them had the standards. So maybe it was a different.
Well, they're also like there wasn't really a stand, to be clear. Like there was, they had the B standard, but we don't
Yeah,
call
okay.
it the B standard anymore. Anyway,
Yeah.
I was, yeah, I don't know.
The women's pace did start off comparatively
It was not.
faster, quite
Yeah.
a bit
It was not.
faster.
And like
So,
out of that front group, I think the only two who like survived were first and second. And then
Yeah, and
like,
also actually on the women's side, because there were quite a few that were sort of marathon, they'd qualified, but they were marathon debut, weren't they? So maybe there's that they're coming from a distant background. Maybe that was part of it as well, for taking it out so fast.
well, so I think it, as the other problem, or not the problem, the question, right, with like Fiona O'Keefe who won and like that front group who was taking it out super fast, and like obviously that caused lots of DN, like that caused mass chaos later. But I think there was also this, and you're like watching and you're like, well, she's never run a marathon before. I literally don't know, and I don't think she even knows what's going to happen. Like she might be able to hold this, or it might be like
It was
really
like Molly
ugly.
Seidel in 2020, wasn't it? It was like everyone was like, she's never run a marathon before. She's right up there at the front. Like, she doesn't know how far she's going to go. It was very kind of similar from that perspective.
On a side point,
Yeah.
she totally, Fiona O'Keefe, I was like, why is that name so familiar for like not being a name everyone knows? And then I was like, so she's like a Bay Area. She used to be a Bay Area person. And I was like, oh, she definitely used to just like totally kick my ass at local heifer thoughts. That's why.
There you go.
There you go. I do feel like she, and then obviously like Molly, like our only Olympic medalist in the marathon in a long time, are basically reason, like the example of the reason why we have a trials race and we don't just say, oh, these were the best people last year. You get to go, right? Like, because then we have these like breaks, like, oh, we never
And
would have picked her.
Dakota, what an amazing feel good story, right? Like, you know, just plugging away, doing your thing, and you make the Olympic team.
But I think, I mean, if there's an argument to for and against. I mean, I don't like the way some countries do it. They just select certain athletes, and some of it, sometimes it is the best choice because they're the athletes that they know they're working and they're coming to their prime. But sometimes it's political. I think it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You have athletes that put so much into the trials, they're blown up for the Olympics, but
Oh yeah,
you
and there's
know.
on you can I can come up with a whole list of examples of people who like were the best in the world and had a mishap on the day. Like there are so many throughout like the history of our trials, but it's just sort of like,
And also, wasn't the like the controversy around like having the trials in Florida, wasn't it? And then the heat and the time of day. Like, is that replicates? Is that the same conditions as going to be in
I think so. Like
Paris?
that's like
Because like
I think
that's the other
so.
thing. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm just saying like some people are going to run better in certain conditions, and surely they're the people you want
Sure.
come the Olympics. And if you're not mirroring that in your trials, I'm not saying they are or they were or they weren't. I didn't really. I knew some of the names, particularly on the women's side, not on the men's side. Obviously, I'm not American, but I obviously follow it. I do love the concept of the US marathon trials for the Olympics. They don't do that in the UK. Say again.
It's very American. I saw yesterday Canada just announced its two people that appointed.
Melinda's
great, right? I'm not saying I don't love, but it's not the American way, right?
No. No. But I was thinking about it. If you tried to do that in the UK, I don't think you would get, how many people were in that race? 100?
400.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. You wouldn't get, I don't think, chicken and egg. Maybe if they did it that way, would they get people trying to then qualify as you do in the US, and then you create that spectacle? But I mean, I don't know where you'd.
If you look back, because I was obviously doing some deep dive looking at this data and stats. If you look back at the women's the standard to get into the trials, going so the first time they had it, it was 258. You know what I mean? Right. And you see even 20 years ago, it was around 20, I can't remember, it was 96, they dropped it to 245 or 238 or something around what it is now, and there was 40 women, right? It was literally no one. So you can see over the years that it's gotten harder and harder and harder, and yet there's always this drop at first, and then people the next time around, is twice as many people, three times as many, four times, so it's people do, rise to the occasion.
But are you guys, from an outsider, are you guys pretty happy with or would you have been happy with whoever they would have picked?
Who knows, right? You can't know what's going to happen, but it's just sort of Dakota's a super good story.
For the US, the trials is bigger than the Olympics for the marathon. The stories that come
in. That's how I feel. Yeah.
I feel that was the big event. And actually how they do, obviously you wanted them to do well. You really do come Paris. But I feel that's kind of
That's how I feel.
The secondary.
Especially on the men's side.
It was more about, it was more about the trials and the stories that unfolded from before that and from that.
We're not going to see many medals. Historically speaking,
said that, but then Molly, that's the thing.
Yeah, but that's an outlier. Yeah. That's an outlier.
So not with that kind of an attitude.
Yeah, that's funny.
My son even cracked a joke, and he's 13. Because I think on one of the videos, the two guys were like, let's go get these medals. And my son was like, they can't even run a 203. What do they think they're getting? I was like, ooh.
You never know what'll happen.
I'm on the day.
The Olympic marathon does tend to be a bit slower and a bit more tactical, and more can happen.
And weird. Weird.
And weird. Yeah.
Weird.
But there is
it's getting back.
It's more about, at that point, it's more about the medal, not about the time. So they're running tactically to get a gold medal. They don't care what time they run necessarily. Yeah.
What was the men's time in 2020, the winning time? It was 2:05, wasn't it?
Oh, I have no idea. My brain hears men's times and forgets them immediately. I don't even keep, it's actually bizarre because I don't even keep the right you know what I mean? You're do they run 20 minutes or 30 minutes? I can't even keep the right frame of reference. I'm is that good? I don't know.
Yeah. And then the women's was a 2:28 was the winning time.
In Tokyo, you mean the actual the actual
in Tokyo where it was
in Tokyo.
It was,
so yeah. the winner was 2:08:38. Sorry, Kipchoge 2:08:38.
Yeah.
And the women on the men's and the women was. Why do they always do the men's
slow.
First?
To Sarah's point, it is often slower for sure.
Yeah. Women's.
Here's
women's?
My biggest question for you, Sarah. Have you picked a marathon?
Oh my goodness. okay. Tell me your thoughts about this.
Okay.
There's one that's convenient in terms of location.
Okay.
And it's literally called the Cheat Marathon. So
going into our next topic.
There's $70.
Okay.
But it's on a bike path, essentially.
Oh, those are the worst.
Okay. All right. Okay. I was trying to get feedback. I'm it's convenient. It's a close drive. I could just do it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you're better at that than me. I've done those bike path races, right?
Okay. And it's just, I've never done one.
You're just kind of well, this is awful. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Like, you're just like out there, and like usually they're small too.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get it. Like, obviously they do these, like, obviously like pro elite runners can handle it and I cannot, but you're just like out there by yourself and you're like, I'm just running down a bike path. And it's not like motivating.
Is it A to B or is it a lap or is it?
I think they also do a half.
Right.
So it's kind of like time trial, like every 3 seconds somebody goes, something like that.
And what's the, is the goal? Like, is this just, I've missed obviously previous conversation. Is it just like,
just for fun?
Oh yeah, no, this was one of the things she decided she wants to run an open marathon this year. So we were in like,
I would pick a freaking good location. Yeah, then. Like, I would pick go for like. One of the big ones. Yeah, yeah, like
I've never run an open marathon before.
Really? Like, maybe you should do this one on the
marathons, and they've all been after a 112 mile bike ride.
Yep, me too. So the problem is, it requires planning.
Right.
Like, yeah, if you want to do the big ones, I have to sign up for it like a year in advance. And actually,
yeah, true.
Sarah,
you get in.
Sarah, yeah. So I don't know if you know this, but you're an Olympian.
So
No, not in marathoning. My point is, like, there are people you email and you say, hey, can I get an entry? And they say, sure. And they give you one. It's like, that's how it works.
That's kind of how it works.
It's kind of how it works.
And if, especially if you start the email with, do you know who I am?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great. You should definitely do that.
Do you know me? I'm like cringing right now. I'm dying right now.
Okay. Better. Yeah.
So I just like know that it's not that hard to end up in the VIP elite athlete tent because they always like need to fill it up. You know what I mean? To like, so they'll put, they like,
Des?
Yeah.
This can get you an entry, surely.
But they literally will like just like fill it with people. And not that you're filler, Sarah, but like they've done it to me where they were like, well, we need some people for like the people to beat. And so like they put me in there and I'm like looking around at like the Africans and I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm going back to my original plan of I will send like Kelly a list of names of races and she's gonna pretend to be me and get me in.
Yeah, that'll be great.
She can then just embarrass me and I won't know.
Good. I'll do that. It'll be amazing.
2:27:20 was the women's time.
Yeah.
They were all super close. They were all like within 20 seconds, 25
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, I remember it was a sprint finish. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
In all fairness, I mean, obviously, yes, to the point of like, I also feel like the Olympic marathon, I'm like, that's a thing. Like, we do it. Like, I always forget about it. But I do think like, Emily Sisson and Fiona, like, I think they'll put their nose in it. I think they will, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be like, well, we can't. Like, I think they believe that they can get a medal and they will try. So we'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch.
What does the course look like in Paris? Is it hilly?
It goes out to Versailles, takes a nice picture in front of Versailles, and comes back. Like it's completely designed for like the shots, the camera
tourist
shots.
Attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's flat. I mean, there's not many hills in Paris anyway. So
I don't like, there's not many hills, but then somebody said it's hilly. I think once you get out toward the country towards Versailles, like it is a little like rolling hilly. Like a runner
flat,
nerd.
But
not flat, flat. No,
it's not. Yeah. It's not technically tough kind of thing.
Yeah. It's probably good for their legs. So. Have a little bit of undulation anyway.
I think it's
flat is hard.
No, I don't think it's flat. It's not like, yeah, but it's more designed for the beauty than for the runners, you know, just like the triathlon course.
Yeah. Well, just like I think most things in a bit like London, you know, it's got so many iconic venues. They are trying to incorporate the history and the iconic locations in Paris to put the venues in those places. Yeah.
Which is funny. So I was talking like, whatever, somebody called me, they were down in LA to like talk about the Olympics, LA 2026, 28. And like, they were telling me basically like, you talk about Beijing or Rio and it's like, whatever you need to make the best Olympics possible, we will move buildings, we will redirect roads. And in LA, they're like down there and they're like, well, we can't put it there because that's a dog park. right? Like, it's like, no, the neighbors would be very upset. Like, and they were like, oh yeah, this is how we do things here. Yeah. So. All right, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, controversy of the week.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with one water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TryHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. I feel like I really just put this on our, our show notes for Jocelyn, and now she's not here. You know?
She does love a good controversy.
Good controversy.
So we're hoping in this week off, she is like doing her research so she can come to us with a real whiz bang one for next week.
Okay, good.
But this one's pretty good. This one's pretty good.
All right. I feel like this is one Sarah actually knows about. And so I would like Sarah to explain it, whereas usually we're explaining things to Sarah.
No. Because you are a former editor-in-chief, I feel like you have a different perspective on this. So go for it.
Okay. All right. So Marathon Investigations, the like website that this guy runs to like out people who have like cheated or bandited or cut courses or like done things right. Every now and then he outs someone high profile. And I saw this pop up on my Facebook like a week ago, and I guess it's blowing up now in the UK. He outed like the UK Runner's World editors, like the woman who edits a section for like the UK version of Runner's World. And it wasn't just like, because my line's always like, I feel bad for some of the people who it's like a small infraction. This was like, she cut off like a part, like half of like, or not half, but like a large section of the London half marathon course. And then she like said she ran the London Marathon, and now it looks like she actually didn't. She just like created a map on Strava and said she did. So now this is getting like soup. So now it's like blown up. It's being covered in like the regular UK papers. You know what I mean? Like the Daily Mail.
So how's it
just one race?
No, because of like a couple. Like she like, because she's like a Runner's World editor, is now like.
But I assume somebody's got to like have flagged it to this guy, or like, has he just gone after her?
No, usually I think what happens is someone like sends him some stuff, and then he does his like super intense investigation, which involves like looking at her splits and comparing them to the average splits. And then he, even my favorite is he'll buy the photos. Okay, I actually think this guy's like, I actually am not a fan of all this. I'm like mocking, but he'll buy the photos and he like zooms in on her watch to like see like if the watch lines up with what she says happened. And then like, and then she, and then he'll email, and then he'll be like, I did not get any response. I like reached out to her for comment, but like, I would not respond to some crazy guy who is emailing me. No.
How much time does he have on his hands? Is this like his full-time job? Does he have a job?
Okay, so this, so here's why I'm always like iffy about this whole like the idea of like outing people online. So this guy, like he runs it, and he outed somebody for like cheating in the LA Marathon a few years ago. And it was a high profile doctor who like eventually committed suicide. And so it was like this really big story out here in California because it was like,
that's like, pretty, that's,
yeah. You see what I mean? Like what's appropriate? Like it's fine. Like I get it that we're like, you shouldn't lie about races, but it's like,
point, they, did she win? Did she get a prize? Did she get, was it just her own? Like, is she middle of the pack? It's just her own.
It's her own. I get,
I mean, I'm not condemning it. I am condemning it. I'm not condoning it, but I'm just like, she wasn't the winner. Like, because it was that other race where in the UK where the woman got in a taxi for half of it,
right?
Or something,
and then she's been like banned. Like,
yeah, that's a little bit.
I think the premise is because she's the editor of Runner's World, like it makes it, you know, fair game. And like they write articles about like what you know what I mean? Like obviously they write articles about like appropriate behavior and stuff. So that makes it kind of like, well.
So how did she cut the course then? Like she just like walked off court and joined it. Somewhere else.
And then like what you do, like the thing is like obviously we all are aware these things happen. It's always funny to me when they start making like mainstream, like remember that girl in Canada, in Ironman Canada, who just like walked into the woods and hid for a lap and then claimed that like she had done both laps.
Like, oh, that's amazing.
Right.
That. Yeah.
So like these things
just, when she qualified for Kona, I think that's what made a lot of people mad.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, Kelly, what is this woman's motivation to lie?
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm trying to think the intersection between her job and, like, this running on the side. I mean, does completing these races give her more credibility? Like, why would you lie about it? Like, I'm trying to, like,
As the editor of the running magazine, would she feel more bad or more embarrassed for not finishing for the issues or whatever?
For not finishing. So I like, but I like obviously people lie all the time. I'm not gonna like figure out why that happens, right? Like, right, like that girl who walked into the woods in Canada, or like it happens all the time, right? And what they tell themselves is some version of like, I worked hard, I deserve this, everyone else does it, whatever, right? They tell themselves something like that. You're right, like the thing that's weird to me is because like as the editor of a running publication, like wouldn't you know that more people are going to be paying attention to what you do? And I would be like more nervous about doing that. That's the part that's like I have 100%, not like recently, but like back when I was 19, like bandited races, right? Like totally jumped in with a friend. I think like my first half marathon ever in college, I just like didn't pay for it because like friends were doing it and I had no money and I just like did it, right? But like of course I don't do that right now, and like I would never have done that when I knew everyone was paying attention. Like that would be insane because like you're setting yourself up for this, right?
Yeah, so I keep on coming back to like, there was a cost benefit analysis in her mind,
right?
When she decided like, as an editor of a running magazine, like I am mid race, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna fake this result. Like she did it multiple times and she kept on coming out, well, the benefit outweighs the cost. And like, I think I'm trying to wrap my head around like, what is this perceived benefit? Because like, obviously we're all thinking like, well, yeah, that was really dumb. But there must have been something about like her position that made it feel like she had to do that. And I have a really hard time understanding like if there's additional pressure from a position like that.
Like, she probably felt like she had to be a certain amount good, right? She probably felt like people viewed her as like, you have to be what people consider a runner. I would imagine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and so she felt like she had to demonstrate a certain level of expertise. And if you're not fast enough or something, I'm sure you would feel like, obviously that's sort of dumb too, but I'm sure that people, like she felt like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, did you... Did you feel as though you had to?
I will tell you, you said that, Sarah, one time. Remember, do you remember Coeur d'Alene that was like 107 degrees?
Uh-huh.
And I was walking because it was 107 degrees and somebody yelled at me, "You're the editor triathlete, you can't be walking."
Okay, now I get it.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And then the guy in the mic who I knew also started to heckle me, but that was like more fine. But I was like,
okay.
Wow.
So I just feel like there's probably some sort of like external pressure coming from people that we just can't wrap our heads around.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, they feel there is.
Because we just think like, you know, normal people, like, well, just that we do that. But I mean,
Kelly, going back to what you said, like you used to when you were younger, just like jump in a race with a friend.
I mean, I think that's
No, that's fine. I wanted to then bring up, isn't that what Sam Laidlow did in Kona last year? Not last year, year before.
Oh, at the right. Well, you don't do it at high profile. Anyway,
he's a high profile athlete and he put it all out on social media and then had the audacity to come first. And you're like,
I mean, obviously he's 21 and I'm saying like, well, back when I was 20, I did this, which like, okay, that's why we have to sometimes be like, sure, Sam's still 20. How old is he? Anyway, like 23.
Anyway, diverting. Yeah. But go.
I do feel bad sometimes when everybody starts piling on like somebody who like, yeah, abandoned a race or something. And you're like, guys, have you never done something stupid in your whole life? Like, of course you have. Like, come on. Like, let's be super real. You have 100% just been like, oh, it'll be fine. Do you get wiser as you get older? Like, probably, right?
Yeah.
Stop doing that. So I guess like I don't know how old this woman is. There's your other question. Like 40 something. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Sarah, people cheat all the time. There was some age group triathlete who got like a ban today, like announced from so you know how Ironman contracts with like the International Testing Agency? Mm-hmm. And there was some age group triathlete that they announced like via Ironman, via the International Testing Agency, got like a ban for some doping. And people were like, you know, why would some random 42-year-old man who's like middle of the pack dope? And it was like, well, okay, so just so you know, off the record, what the like doping field. So age groupers turn each other in every fucking day. Like age groupers call in tips on each other like every day. Like they're like, oh, I think this guy at my pool got like too fast. Like it's like really funny.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
But apparently pros never, ever call. So it's like every day they get like dozens of age groupers being like, oh, this guy on my group ride is just suspicious.
Oh, you know, like having ridden a lot on Swifts, that kind of tracks. Because the things that people say about each other are just brutal. Where it's like, you're totally like, what doping? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't see your heart rate. And this is... You know, that's just a little glimpse of, I'm sure, what happens.
Yeah. They make themselves weigh 100 pounds and then, they do all kinds of dumb stuff.
I saw, like, I think it was on Instagram or something. I think it was, like, a pro athlete. It could have been a pro triathlete, like, obviously taking the piss, but he was, like, walks out of a door and he's what my height is on Zwift? And he's, like, the shortest guy in the room.
Right,
and
he, like, slumps over.
Yeah, and then what my height is on, I don't know, a dating app, and he's, like, 6-foot odds and stuff like that because of the height and weight doping that you can do.
Yeah, it's funny. But, yeah, so why do people cheat, Sarah? I don't know, right, man? Like,
no, I understand why people cheat. I was trying to get an insight into, like, a fellow editor-y type person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what is weird to me from your perspective. Like, sure, external pressures. I just can't believe that you wouldn't, like, don't you feel like everyone's watching you then? Like, wouldn't you be like, oh my God, like, someone's definitely going to notice if I walk off the course in the middle of
perhaps
this
she
half
doesn't
marathon.
Care that much. Like, perhaps she's just like Joe Smith on the street and she's like, I'm kind of over this race, just want to get it done. I'm just going to.
Probably, yeah.
Like,
you know what I
you
feel
know we all have that? The yeah everyone has those races right. With it yeah
okay so and I feel like maybe right like now that you guys are you know podcasting celebrities you've probably had this problem when you're like I'm kind of a bitch in life and then especially at like training and stuff and then I'm like oh no I'll be a bitch to somebody and then like they're like oh my God I love your podcast and I'm like oh fuck I just told you to get the fuck out of this lane you're too slow.
Yeah.
I feel really bad about that sometimes. So then I've tried to like temper it.
I'm really nice when I'm training, especially at the pool, because I swim at the senior center, right. And they do things like remind me that the water in the lane that I'm about to swim in is deep.
Oh, that's
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I told her I only swim on the top. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Just crazy oh, no. stuff. I'm just like, oh my God.
That's brilliant. Oh, man. You are like, well.
They keep putting, where we're swimming is like 100 zillion degrees, and I'm in wetsuit exactly. swims at the moment, just like boiling in a bag going, oh, this is crazy.
Well, the thing that's been like making me nuts, I think I've told you guys, like I swim at the Y and it's like, it's basically unswimmable for me because it's just like too many people floating.
Yeah.
I don't know like what, like the pros would do, right? Like you just like, you could not show up to this pool and swim. Like it wouldn't, it's not an option, not a possibility.
Like we're pretty, like we've got a, like squad sessions. So we just take, so they book the pool out and that's kind of every man and his dog in Boulder. And then when we go at other times, it's not too bad actually. It's pretty good in terms of space at the Y because it's a little bit out of Boulder. So that's not too bad. Yeah.
But like when I was at, in Paris at the test event, I was staying in like the same hotel as like a bunch of the US athletes, and they had booked like 2 swim times for the US athletes over that like 5 days, but they were all trying to find full time otherwise. And I was like, well, I went to like, we were all like, well, this one didn't have that many old guys walking. Yeah. And I'm like, how are you supposed to be like getting ready for your qualification event when you're like swimming around Parisian, you know how like, and then, I mean, then like there's always weird rules.
I was down like, oh my to God. The, that's the federation. Like they need to go in and like they book the facility. I mean, okay, Tokyo was a little bit different. I don't know what London was like, but Tokyo, obviously with the restrictions of COVID, we had a British triathlon and power triathlon. We had a whole school that no one else was going to. And that was our space and our swim. And
I think the test event was still viewed as like,
open not
a
game.
Like not a national team activity, if that makes sense. Which is like a little free for all-y.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I will say that trying to share a lane with a bunch of French people, like that is one of the most harrowing swimming events I have ever had in my life. Like they do not care. They are going to swim their slow breaststroke in the middle of the lane and yell at you if you splash them. Yeah. And, like, you are going to end up with PTSD from that swim.
Like they'll move over. They'll move over to be in your way.
It's bizarre. There's also always like weird rules where like you have to change lanes if you're going to like use paddles, and like, and you can only use paddles at certain hours, and like it's just, it's very complicated.
Oh, that's like the UK and I mean, the aggression sounds like the Kona pool, but the using of toys and equipment is like the UK, swimming and trying to swim in the UK. Yeah,
it's bizarre. So I don't know. I don't know how like pros handle it, do it, you know.
Avoid France.
Hey, you sound like me. No, France is great. We're going to have so much fun there this year in our Nice Croissant tour, whatever we're calling it. We haven't come up with a good name.
All I know is Jocelyn's going to have t-shirts made. So right. That's all good.
Sid, are you doing Placid? Because we're all doing Placid. Everyone's doing Placid.
I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I can't think that far ahead at the moment.
I've already started on my 2025 schedule.
No.
Oh, you have? Oh, God.
No. None of us want to hear about that.
Are you kidding? I kind of wanted.
I'm not kidding. I've already started looking at what I could. I was.
What, I'm what's on the list? Come on.
It's on a post-it.
What's on the list?
So I'll always do Havana, of course. I'm debating on whether to do Texas, I Am Texas, or go down to Clash Miami. I want to go to Slovakia in May.
Okay.
Chattanooga, Long Course Nationals. And if they have Vegas, I want to do Vegas again.
Oh, the PTO Vegas.
Yeah.
I suspect, just like for your 3-year out planning purposes, that there are going to be some North American Ironman changes in the schedule for next year. So,
oh, okay.
I don't have like secret intel like I, you know, do sometimes. I'm just saying that it's kind of ridiculous right now. So they're like definitely going to need to move it around. So.
Like there's nothing.
Yeah, like there's nothing. Like that's why we're all doing that. Yeah. But Sid, you are going to New Zealand, right? You're doing Ironman New Zealand Challenge with Wanaka or both?
Wanaka and then New Zealand, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
That's soon.
Yeah. Like in 10 days.
Oh, we're talking soon. Yeah. I'll be in Cuba and you'll be in.
That. Less than that, because you lose a day in travel. So right. I leave here on Monday, get there Wednesday, and race on Saturday. It's going to be a shocker. Nice. Yeah.
You had said
my first time doing summer races from a Northern Hemisphere winter build. So yeah,
you had told me like maybe a month or so ago, you were like, oh, I think there's going to be whatever, like were there going to be big names? And then I was looking at it and it seems like there actually is going to be like some big names doing it. Yeah.
Wanaka or Taupo?
Taupo, both.
I haven't seen a start list, but I'm speculating in what everyone's saying is, and I think I have a feeling some people might come and do an early that race early and get validation or qualification because there's actually three spots, which is quite unusual for New Zealand as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe use that to get an early Ironman race for Nice. I was going to say Paris then for Nice, and then concentrate on the shorter distance that they are contracted to.
The T100, whatever.
Yeah, the only thing is like the first race of the T100 is the week after Ironman New Zealand, but I'm not sure. Like, obviously you don't have to do every race, or they don't have to do every race. So I'm not too surprised if there's a few that do New Zealand and then don't do Miami. Although they announced the start list for Abu Dhabi, which is the same weekend as Miami, and there's quite a few of those wildcard athletes doing that. Because I don't think you'll see many of the Olympic athletes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think any of the Olympic athletes are doing T100 until after the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is only kind of sad for me because, you know, I know it's not confirmed and I know Sid's not going to confirm it for us, but I really would have liked to see like Flora and Taylor do Alcatraz. I think that would have been fun. But I do think like we'll see. Yeah, like a lot of people.
It's not confirmed.
It's not confirmed. I know that. But
California is the state of races.
But I do think you're right that this issue with like needing to do a validation Ironman or a qualifying Ironman and then also be ready for a world championship Ironman. And there's so many races this year. It's just going to be hard to like do them all. And you're going to have to like plan your schedule.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. I think you'd put it, or had you said it or put it somewhere or read it. I read it somewhere. I think you were saying that you wouldn't be surprised if Ironman changed their qualify. I think they will make it. I heard that you will have to validate to get, because that brings people back into
the system,
their races. Yeah. Yeah. But who knows? I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I just like, I think Ironman probably has two ways they can go there, which is either like doubling down or being like, well, let's waive it for Daniela. You know what I mean? Like we want Daniela on the start line, which like, I think, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So we'll see what happens for sure.
Yeah.
But the people who can get it in early, like Sky has hers in early. I was like, I don't know who else has theirs in early. I can't remember.
Yeah, the guys that raced at the back end of last year. But then you see Kat Matthews has announced she's doing Texas. Mm-hmm. So when's Texas? May?
April.
Okay, yeah. So she'll come over, do the PTO Miami, I'm assuming. I think she's down for that one. Don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then, yeah. I don't know how many North Americans will do Miami, just with it being early.
No idea. I have no idea about that. I do know, so lots of people will do this thing where they show up in California like a month before Oceanside or 2 months, and they'll just do like a big going training camp. And so that started to happen, like Paula came here, Fennella. Anyway, and we've had massive storms. So they like showed up and it was like epic flooding, like tropical storm, bomb cyclone, like my fence fell down into the neighbor's yard. Yeah.
Ooh, fun.
So, yeah. So that's what I'm like. So it just made me laugh. Everybody comes out here being like, it'll be great training.
It'll be California. Yeah. In winter.
In winter.
You'll be inside.
Sorry, guys.
Not always perfect weather. Huh.
Sarah, do you have a random, did you tell us your random question this week, or was it like a pre, did we pre-think it?
No, but okay. I do have a random question. Actually, I think this is more of a story and I want reactions.
Okay.
So, Ben knows somebody who saw that a fairly local race, like if you beat the course record, which is 1445, then you get a $300 bonus.
Sorry, 1445 for what?
Five.
That's the course record, is 1445.
Okay.
And so this woman emails me and she's like, that's great. If I break the women's course record, is there also $300? They're like, oh, we'll get back to you. And they're like, all men and women are eligible for that $300 if you break the course record. So what is the appropriate response for this athlete to the race director?
Well, obviously, like, fuck you. But the actual appropriate response is to say that you feel like this would be good for the local news to know. And that's what you do. Because that's how it actually goes wider.
Amazing. Because I would like to point out that the American record for the 5K on the roads, I believe, is like 1445.
Oh, for women? Yeah. So that would be challenging.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I think that's a good reply. I think the local news would be interested.
Local news?
Yeah.
Khadija, what would you say?
Yeah, I would. That sounds like a move I would do. Yeah. Because that's the first thing out of my mouth. I can call Channel 2 News. I actually have a cousin who works at Channel 2 News. So I can. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Okay. I thought somebody would, that's a very diplomatic response compared to what I thought might come out.
I mean, obviously it's like bullshit, right? It just is. So it's like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the American way. Either call the news or start talking about lawyers.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of times people do things and they like kind of know it's fucked up, but they just like, don't think it's going to, if people knew, you know what I mean? And that's one of those ones where it's like, they know if word got out, it would be bad. So it's like, so get word out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. I'm going to pass that along. Well, if any listeners have some terrific feedback for me to pass along, like fifth party, I'm sure this runner wants to hear it from a random person.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another week of If We Were Riding. Sid, thanks for coming and good luck with your travels. We can't wait to hear about the updates. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.